It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Are you ready? Are you ready? It's Friday. You know what that means.
I'm always ready.
You know what that means. It's Friday. It's going to get weird.
What does it mean?
It means, well, it's a football Friday. We got games to talk about. Okay. And it gets weird. 312-332-3776. All calls welcome.
Yeah, you know, the phone calls get a little strange on Friday nights. That's why we're here. Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Something I want to get to right off the top. I want to make sure we mark this down.
Right off the tippy?
Right at the start of the show. Can we mark this down? Because I think Bears fans need to keep this in mind. Mark this down right now. Mark the tape. Mark it. You got this marked down?
You feel it?
Mark
feel
it. You mark
watch
it
us on Twitch. Feel
you got
it.
You got it. You mark it down.
This is a hot take.
You mark this down.
The
here we go,
radiating
Bears fans.
Right here. This is a hot
here we
take.
Go. Because everything we heard this week from the Bears leadership team, George McCaskey, Ted Phillips, Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, this is something we need to mark down right now. Ready? Here it is. Ryan Pace will get desperate on finding a quarterback this offseason. 100%. At no point in this offseason will the Bears be conservative in their approach at trying to fix the quarterback position. Why am I saying this? Because if you listen to all of the conversation that they had this week at Hallis Hall on Wednesday, they seem to point out that the only thing wrong with the franchise is that they don't have a quarterback. The only thing. I guarantee you right now, mark this down. Are you marking this down, Abdallah?
No.
I guarantee you Ryan Pace will be desperate this offseason in finding a quarterback. I want you to mark that down.
Okay.
Because whether or not it works, that's not the point of this commentary. It's not that whether or not it works out. My point is that they will not be conservative in their quarterback search, and they will put the Bears in a tricky spot going forward because they are desperate. Because they told us they're doing a great job. Everything's great. They stuck through a six-game losing streak. They made the playoffs. It doesn't matter. Everything's great. The only thing they're missing is a quarterback. He will get desperate. Mark my words, right now. That's what's going to happen in this offseason. Just wanted to make sure we get that down.
It's kind of lukewarm take.
What do you mean lukewarm? Well, I'm not looking for a heat...
Heat index?
Heat index on my take. I'm just letting you know.
It was a little lukewarm. Let me tell you this. We know their track record. They trade whatever. They pay whatever to get whoever they want. So if they want Trey Lance, if they want Zach Wilson, they'll trade up to get him. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about next year's draft, 2022, 2023. He doesn't care because guess what? He might not even be here to see those drafts. He might not even be here to make those picks. Those aren't his problem. I've always said this. Since Ryan Pace has been GM and he's trading picks from this year, he's the dude, he's the kid in college that has a zero APR on a credit card for a year, maxes that thing out, signs up for another credit card, transfers the balance. Eric's pointing to himself. Transfers the balance.
You're talking about my freshman sophomore year.
You transfer that balance to the next credit card. You're like, I got a year to pay this off.
What's a credit score? I'll just pay
the minimum payments. I'll be money in a year. A year ends up and they're like, guess what? You got to pay interest and it's like 40% interest and you're like, oh crap. Then you find another credit card and you transfer the balance over to that credit card. And eventually, guess what? Your credit shot, you can't get anything. And that's what's happening. Because, yes, you're right. You're right. He's going to make a bold move.
He's got
cojones.
Here he is.
We've been told this. He's got them. He's put them on the table. He'll take a big swing. But he's ruining something down the line, whether it's cap space by paying people, whether it's draft capital by trading for people. Yeah, he's going to do whatever it takes to get who he wants, But you have to look at what you're doing to the future of the franchise. And right now, they're running out of bounds transfers. It's over. Their credit score is real bad because you don't have all your draft picks this season. You have horrible cap space where you might not even be able to franchise your own players and keep Allen Robinson, who said he doesn't want to play. He doesn't say it, but he danced around not wanting to play under the franchise tag. So he's probably going to be gone because you can't afford him. So because of that, they're going to have to make a big move to get a quarterback because, like you said, they only think they're a quarterback away. So you're right. It's a lukewarm take, but it's a right take. And I think that is what we can expect. Expect a trade. I don't think they're just going to sit at 20 and be like, best available. That's not how he is.
No, it's not. And I'm not looking for this to be a shocking take. I'm just making sure we mark it down this week. They told us exactly what they think about themselves. They're doing a great job. There's collaboration. Everyone's on the same page.
Communication.
They have their leadership team put together. There's nothing to see here. Don't worry. Don't ask about contracts because we have everything taken care of. You media and Bears fans out there, you don't matter. It doesn't matter what you want information from us. We're going to keep it within the house. The only thing we're missing, really, or we're good. You know, we stuck together through a 6-game losing streak. The only thing we're missing is a quarterback. That's the one thing they were willing to admit they need to get better at. And I'm telling you right now, mark it down. Ryan Pace is going to get desperate in this offseason trying to fix the position. That's it. I'm not trying to look for a hot take. I'm just saying that's something we need to keep in the forefront of our mind as we enter the offseason. He's going to get a little itchy, a little desperate on this situation.
And the debt collectors will start calling. Because we have been fielding calls from debt collectors all week. The fans who are pissed off and they keep calling you. And guess what? They keep ignoring them. Just like when debt collectors call you and you block their number.
You don't answer.
You don't answer spam numbers. You don't answer debt collectors.
Yeah.
You block their number.
100%.
Stop calling me. Stop calling me when I'm out on a date. Otherwise, she's going to think debt collectors are calling me and I got no money. Here, put it all on this card. Spread it around.
312-332-3776. Friday night calls. Vince and Roselle, you kick us off here on ESPN 1000. What's up, Vince?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just want to ask you this. If it weren't for the 85 Bears, would the Bears, not the Cleveland Browns, be the laughingstock of the NFL? I mean, you look at this franchise. They haven't had a quarterback since Sid Luckman back in 1950. And even the Cleveland Browns, I believe, had one 4,000-yard passer. I mean, this is ridiculous. And you bring back a guy who goes rogue, picks a guy who's really a fourth-round pick maybe if he comes back at North Carolina for another year. Maybe the same thing happens to him. Like Cardale Jones, and you take him over Deshaun Watson, and you bring him back. I don't know. It's not looking bright, and it looks like they're going to try another Band-Aid fix, as they always do, and trade for a quarterback, whether it's an old quarterback or one in the draft who just is a reach at that point. So that's just my question to you guys.
Thanks, Vince. Thanks for the phone call. You know, the Cleveland Browns have been the laughingstock of the NFL, and who knows what happens this weekend against Kansas City in the playoffs, but they seem to be on the right path towards respectability. And I would say that the Bears are in the grouping of handful of teams that are some of the laughing stocks of the National Football League. The New York Jets, I would say the Cincinnati Bengals as of late have been in that category. And the Chicago Bears, the Detroit Lions are right there with them in the same division. But really, they don't have a lot to show for the rich history that they actually have. They have a great history. Chicago Bears history is so cool. We've talked about that on this show. We respect the history. We love the history. You could even go back to the 40s. I mean, this franchise was legitimate for many decades. But the problem is, when you have a bunch of mom-and-pop people running an organization in today's 2021, you need ownership that makes the right decisions to put the right people in place to run the franchise. I don't think that's what's taking place here.
No, I don't think so either, because I think that they trust Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy too much, and I don't understand why. What track record have they shown that, and they kept on saying it too. They don't have it. Ryan Pace doesn't have a track record of finding a good quarterback. And when asked about what faith they have in Ryan Pace selecting a quarterback, George McCaskey kept saying it was the collaboration with Matt Nagy. So who's picking the quarterback, Pace or Nagy?
It's going to be both of them.
It's a collaboration.
I think what this boils down to is if you say it's a collaboration, not one person gets the blame.
You can blame them both, yeah.
It's a crappy group project that was turned in, and then when the teacher asks who did what, everyone points a finger. And that's exactly what we have here. It's a crappy group project.
Mm-hmm.
Can they pass the class? Yeah, I guess. I guess they're passing the class because they make money. And that clearly is all they care about. Right? Like, they're going to make the money. No matter how poorly they run this franchise, they're going to make money. The league makes money. It's the National Football League. So, like, at the end of the day, they'll never fail out of the class. So you can continue to have these stupid Zoom conference calls at the end of the season suggesting that they're pretty close. The culture's great. Oh, there's good communication. The only thing we're missing is a quarterback. Don't ask about the contracts. All this nonsense that we heard on Wednesday. It doesn't matter. You know why? Because they'll never fail the class.
Listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Steve in Elmhurst. Steve, you're on ESPN 1000.
Guys, you know, one of the things that you talked about that I totally agree with, I think they're going to have a tremendous sense of urgency to address this quarterback position in a way that allows them to potentially contend for the division in the coming year. If they try to draft somebody at number 20, they're not going to likely get a guy who's going to be able to compete right away. And even if he does, he's probably not going to succeed right away. So I expect that they're going to probably go after a tackle with their first-round pick, and then I think they're going to try to sign a free agent, somebody who has experience and can step in and play right away. I'm thinking a guy like Tyrod Taylor makes probably more sense for them to do that. And then if you want to, you know, draft a guy later in the draft that you think has potential down the road, that makes a lot of sense to me. So you can develop him, try to develop him. Hopefully you can find somebody that can be developed into something special. But in the meantime, you've got somebody that can go forward and allow your team the chance to try to contend. I don't think it's going to work either way. I think they're going to be gone a year from now. But that's what I expect out of them.
Thank you for the call, Steve. We appreciate it.
I disagree with Steve because I think that they're already in job security mode. I think that they are surprised that they're still here. And I think that they will, like you mentioned, try to swing for the fences with this quarterback pick, because if it does work, like let's say you do trade up for Zach Wilson or Trey Lance and it works and he's really good, guess who's getting extensions?
They will be here forever.
Everybody's getting extensions.
Forever.
So the Tyrod Taylor drafting someone late and maybe having full start the first few couple games until he's ready, I don't think that that's going to happen. They're going to make a big swing and try to trade for someone, or make a big swing and try to move up and draft someone high. Because their jobs depend on the quarterback play.
Mike in Bridgeport, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mike?
How you guys doing? I got a thought I've been having for the last couple of months, really, because I keep on hearing on this station and on the other sports station, it is nonstop talk about the Bears. What are they going to do? They're terrible. They're always terrible. They're always going to be terrible. They're always going to be terrible until everyone stops talking about it and, most importantly, stops giving them their money. That's the only thing that's going to get their attention. So as long as everyone keeps talking about them, they're just going to keep on doing what they do. Why don't you guys pay more attention to other sports like boxing or baseball or anything? Just stop talking about the Bears. They'll go away or they'll fix themselves. Thanks.
So you're suggesting like a tree, if there's nowhere there, a tree falls in the forest, it doesn't make a sound? If we don't cover the Bears, they'll just go away?
Well, if no one buys tickets, then they'll go out of business. Well, conversely, if everyone stops kind of putting so much energy and investment into them, they'll either have to fix themselves or they will go away. I mean, I'll tell you, I stopped watching the Bears, like, right. I'm a diehard Bears fan my whole life. And then when I got that championship game against Green Bay and got pounded at Soldier Field, I was kind of like, this organization doesn't care about winning. They had Jay Cutler sitting on the sidelines pouting, and then, you know, fast forward a couple of years now, and we got Mitch Trubisky that they traded up, and everyone knows the whole background. We could have got Deshaun Watson. We could have got Patrick Mahomes. We could have even got Jamal Adams. We could have got a whole bunch of people instead of this guy. He's not going to advance. They're not going to advance. So I'm just like, just stop. I don't pay attention to them that much anymore because I'm like, this is a waste of my time and money.
Didn't Cutler have a torn ligament in his knee?
No, pouting, bro.
He was pouting?
Pouting.
Mike, what was it? Pouting or torn ligament in the knee?
It was both.
Okay. Yeah, the pouty ligament.
It was both.
So you want us to cover boxing, right?
Yes. You got right now, you have almost a golden age in boxing. You have potential unification in the heavyweight and lightweight and middleweight.
All right. We'll try and... What else would you like us to cover?
Just anything other than the Bears. Okay. Anything other than Trubisky and Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. And stick it here in those three names.
All right. Thank you for the call, Mike. We'll add it to the agenda for our next show. Alan Lamont, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Al?
Hey, can you guys cover ping pong while you're at it?
Well, I mean, Al, I like boxing. I watch a lot of boxing. Boxing's great,
man.
I just don't know
if I'm trying to watch the Blackhawks right now.
I don't know if that's going to help the Black and Abdallah ratings.
So far.
I don't know, but... Go ahead.
Would it be nice just to hang up on people, by the way, on a side note, but I know you're not going to answer it anyway.
No, all calls welcome, Al.
First of all, out of that call, we got the pouty knee ligament. So I think that was a successful call.
All right. So here's what I got. I'm trying to be logical here, so bear with me. I feel like I kind of disagree a little bit with my boy Abdullah because they're not going to swing for the fences for the reason of – the reason they came back was – They're at cap limit, so they're not signing anybody. They can't make moves unless they trade draft picks. I think they had the meeting where you guys built this team, deal with it for the next year, and let's see what happens. Because come next year, you got a lot of people coming off the books. Maybe you got some better draft picks. You're building through the draft for the next year. They can't bring in a new GM and head coach to this train wreck for a year to waste. Let them start fresh next year. Build from the draft. You have some cap space next year after this upcoming year falls off. Plus, the schedule is going to be brutal next year if anybody talks about that. And this guy talking about going to Bears games, diehard. If you're a diehard, then you're still a Bears fan. And that's what we talk about. This is a Bears town, man. So be patient. This is what the plan is. I feel like their plan is this. So I don't know. What are you guys thinking?
Al, I disagree with the notion that this is their plan to wait it out for a year because I don't think they have a plan. And if they do have said plan, I feel like there's something in the background where there's been extensions given out and the actual length of time of contracts may be longer than we expect. And that's why no one would answer the question on Wednesday. So I don't think it is McCaskey and Phillips saying to Nagy and Pace, this is the prove it year and you need to figure this out with 1 year left on the shot clock. I think what this is what you get. Like, they think that these are the individuals to run the franchise the best, and that's what we're getting.
Yeah, I think that you hire guys that you like, right? And they're keeping guys that they like. Look at it this way, right? Pace went to dinner with Trubisky, fell in love with him, and drafted him.
I like your core.
Didn't tell anybody about it.
I like went your rogue, haircut.
Drafted.
You made the Rizzo over
George McCaskey.
What's the name?
In the press conference the other day, said many times that he knew this wasn't a popular decision, and I think he was talking about not just the fans. I think he was talking about in the building too, and amongst the board members. But guess what? He's a McCaskey, and he gets final say. And if the board doesn't like him, they can remove him. And so because of this, he likes Ryan Pace. He likes Matt Nagy. He said it to Waddle and Sylvie. They're great guys. So he likes his guys, and he's sticking with his guys, much like Ryan Pace stuck with his guy. And Matt Nagy wanted to go out and get his guy in Nick Foles. It's a trust thing. He trusts Ryan Pace. I don't know why he trusts him. The dude went rogue and drafted Trubisky. But he trusts him, just like he trusts Nagy. And so now that's why you have this situation.
Justin Braidwood, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Justin?
Hey, how are you doing? I just wanted to say one small comment. We always talk about how Bears fans are upset about 1985. We never give them grief for being obsessed with 2018. I mean, how many times has a team talked about almost making it to the divisional rounds when they didn't even score 20 points in that game?
That's a good point. That's a good point. And they keep clinging to the fact that they made the playoffs this year, even though they lost the last game and had another team had to lose for them to get into the playoffs this year, and it was an added spot.
They stuck together. They got through the six-game losing streak. FedEx Harold in Skokie. Harold, you're on ESPN 1000.
What's up, guys? How's it going? So here's my theory, actually. I don't think that the Bears are actually going to give up a lot of draft picks to get up Deshaun Watson. I don't think that they're going to move up on the board to draft a quarterback because I think they learned from a mistake from Mitch Trubisky. But I do think that the option I always said was they should go after Sam Darnold, give up a second and third round pick. That kid's young. He still has potential. He needs a good coach, obviously. But like I said, if this team is not on rebuild mode, I think this team probably could, like, he could actually lead them probably next season to see where they go, you know. But like I said, that's just my theory. I don't think they're actually going to move up for a draft to get a quarterback. So,
thanks for the call, Harold. Dahl, what do you think? Sam Darnold? You in? You in on Darnold?
Adam Schefter was saying that he believes that Sam Darnold will be the starting quarterback for the Jets. Whether that means that they draft someone and just keep Darnold and then eventually trade him, or they're not going to take a quarterback and Sam Darnold will be the guy. So, I know you do. You'd be printing Darnold jerseys in your basement.
Do I want Sam Darnold on the Bears? I think he can still be successful in the National Football League.
Yeah, you do. Just like you can't quit the Rams, you can't quit Darnold.
But with that said, I believe the reports, and I think he will be with the Jets,
yeah.
And they will use that pick to trade back and to get more assets and to build.
Mm-hmm.
To build the team the right way. So I don't think it's likely he'll be available.
I agree. I don't think he's available.
I'm not giving up stuff to go get Sam Darnold.
No.
Now, if the Jets selected Justin Fields and they cut and release Sam Darnold, yeah, he's a better option than what you have right now. I'm not giving up stuff to go get Sam Darnold. But I do think he can still win in the National Football League. I get that that's not a popular opinion, but I'm a USC fan. What can I say? Ryan on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, boys, thanks for taking my call. One of the best results about the lineup change-up, as much as I miss listening to my guy Jonathan Hood this late, was giving a little bit of you guys more airtime. You're fun to listen to, always keeping it entertainment, even though I can't stand the Alabama Roll Tide stuff from Abdallah all the time. But
thanks, Ryan. Roll Tide.
Neither can I.
Appreciate it, Ryan. Roll Tide.
Yeah.
And to make matters worse, I'm an Irish fan on top of it.
I'm sorry for your loss.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Anyways, I don't disagree with your stance. Like, they got to go all in. They got to make a difference. The fact that they're surprised that they're still here, I totally agree. But what move are we making and with what ammunition, honestly? Like, yeah, Deshaun Watson's out there. Do you really think the Bears have anything that they can offer up to really pull pride Deshaun Watson away from Houston? And if not, where do we go? Like Black, you said, you wouldn't trade for Darnold. Then what type of move can we make or will we make? I know that you guys normally don't like to speculate on that stuff. I always try and get Waddle and Sylvie to do it, and they never want to, you know, they got to research their stuff. But what are your suggestions? What do we do with it, with the picks that we have, with the draft capital that we have that we lack? How are we making a move? I want to hang up and listen to what you have to say. Appreciate taking my call.
Thanks for the call, Ryan. We appreciate you listening. And, you know, to answer the question, I'd say this. I think Ryan Pace will get desperate. He doesn't have a lot to work with, though. And Ryan points out, there's not a lot of quarterbacks that are going to be available to actually fix what's going on.
You've got so much to work with. You got drafts in 2021, 22, yeah, 23, so 24,
see, that's the scary part.
26,
so if you bring up Deshaun Watson,
29.
I think Watson actually is somewhat doable because all it takes to get Watson is for him to want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? Like, if Deshaun Watson wants to be in Chicago, you give up 4 first-round picks in the next 4 years. You get it done. You figure it out. Send them Eddie Jackson if they need some money. I don't care. I don't need Eddie Jackson here and his contract. You get that done. Now, other quarterbacks are going to be available. Okay, does Jimmy Garoppolo become available from the 49ers? That's a question that's out there. Is, like a couple of callers ago, is Tyrod Taylor available on the market?
No, thanks.
I mean, there are not going to be any – is Darnold. There are not going to be any good options.
Jimmy Garoppolo, we talked about that today.
Yeah, but, like, there are no good options if you're not picking a quarterback in, like, the top 10 of the draft or making a trade for Deshaun Watson. There really is nothing available unless something crazy happens with Detroit where the new regime comes in and says – we need to remove Matthew Stafford from the situation.
I don't think they're trading
him in the division. No, why would they do that? No one would do that. Would Atlanta draft a quarterback in the top five and then
trade Matt Ryan?
Matt Ryan?
Maybe. I think if you're looking at Watson, if I'm the Texans, I'm only talking to teams that have two picks in the first round this year because I want picks this year and a quarterback. So I'm looking right at the Miami Dolphins.
It's the Dolphins. It's the Jets.
Yep. And the Jaguars.
And Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
All three have high picks. Mm-hmm. All three have double picks in the first round.
But Miami's the only one that has a quarterback that they could throw in there.
Well, I mean, technically the Jets could if that quarterback's back is... Yeah. You know, the Jets could with Darnold.
They could throw Darnold in there, yes. Yes.
All right, we'll take more calls. 312-332-3776. You on the Bears next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
We had a big station announcement this week. In case you missed it, Connor McKnight is our new teammate here at ESPN 1000. He'll be the pre- and post-game host for White Sox baseball right here on ESPN 1000. You can hear Connor tomorrow on White Sox Weekly at 9 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. His guest at 9:35, Len Casper. Ooh. How about that? So shout out to Connor. Shout out to Len. You can hear the guys tomorrow on White Sox Weekly right here on ESPN 1000
huge
at
edition.
9 a.m. tomorrow.
Can't wait for White Sox baseball.
If
you missed Liam Hendricks today on Wild and Sylvie, check out the podcast. That guy's a great interview. He's awesome.
He is awesome, and I cannot wait for the Sox to close out games with him on a consistent basis as they head towards the playoffs. Mitchell in Des Plaines, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mitchell?
What's up there, Team Gemini, Team Sagittarius? Let me just give you a few concepts that I want you to review. I talked about this week and the events that transpired about it's all about the money. Because if you look what they said, I'm talking about the Bears, of course, and the hierarchy of the McCaskies and what they tried to communicate, you're looking at a situation where they're all about the money. Okay? And I want to bring these aspects to your attention, Your Honor. Okay? First of all, if it wasn't about the money, then why don't they give Allen Robinson his money? Number one, that's strike one. Strike two, if it's all about the money or not about the money, why don't they give certain players their due in terms of the finances? Now, there are some players that get what I call market value, such as Khalil Mack, and some others. But the bottom line is that they are rewarding losing, okay? This is the only franchise that rewards basically losers, okay, in what they call their judgment. So if you have a losing what I call schedule, you go basically 8-9, okay, you're rewarded for losing. Okay, that's what they're telling you. Now, what's more incredulous? What's more egregious? Is the fact that the snarkiness in the attitude of George McCaskey telling you that they got this all covered, whatever vernacular they want to use. My question is this to you. Number one, obviously, you guys are pretty smart, and you guys, both of you, have a good sense of critical thinking. What I find even more insulting is that the Bears and their decision-making are flawed. That's the master of the obvious. And yet, we're supposed to basically be all in with this, what I call this franchise that has this great history. Okay, let me just tell you something real quick. In 1977, with Bob Evelini, they went to the playoffs, and they got destroyed by Dallas. In 1979, under Neil Armstrong, they also went to the playoffs with Vince Evans and Mike Phipps and Vince Evans. They were both were quarterbacks at that time. And they got destroyed by the Eagles. Now, you look at what happened with the Bears, and you look exactly what happened with Trubisky. You had what I call this interesting fellow named Ryan Pace, who is impulsive, who also has a very awkward way of expressing himself. And he's very private for a reason, because his actions speak louder than words. So let me ask you this to both of you. Right? Team Gemini, you're brilliant. Team Sagittarius, you're expansive. Okay? In your own words, are you buying that the Bears are doing the right thing?
No.
No.
Exactly. And why?
Because they should move off of what they have.
Exactly. When I ask you this, Team Gemini, when I told you guys 4 years ago with your past staff members on ESPN, I said that Trubisky was going to be a complete failure. Okay, that was day one. 4 years later, now we get the net results. Moving forward, okay, do you really think the Bears have any intrinsic quality of basically making this franchise a better, more competitive team to lead the division?
No.
Okay, now, exactly. Why do you think that way? Because you know why? It's about the money. They have a fiduciary responsibility, Team Gemini and Sagittarius, that because of COVID in 2020, the reason why they didn't do anything with Pace and Nagy is because it would have been too expensive to go out into the free market, because Sweaty Teddy has a fiduciary responsibility to protect their assets. Because they made no money on, obviously, all the concessions, the ticket prices, because they couldn't have, you know, fans in the stands. And by the way, COVID's not going away. So you're talking about another good 5 or 6 years of unintended consequences with regards to a new norm, or, I'm sorry, to an old norm, because it's just not, it's not going to happen.
Mitchell, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir. Please, Gemini.
What are we drinking tonight? What are we drinking?
What's the bottom line?
What are we doing?
Bottom line is that I have just been listening a lot.
No, I'm not. I'm not suggesting that you're drinking. I'm saying, like, when you relax tonight, what are we drinking?
Oh, when I'm relaxed. Well, I'll tell you what I do. I do take a it's a vitamin C in conjunction with a zinc, magnesium, and calcium. And if for some reason it's really relaxing. Okay, I do not smoke. I don't smoke any pot. I do like red wine, you know, with my normal staple diet.
What are you, but, you cab guy? You're a Merlot guy? What are you drinking?
Pinot Gris?
That's a white wine. Big,
it doesn't matter.
Other questions. Yes, I'm all about the Malbec.
Okay, during Malbec. The winter, Malbec.
I'm all about the Malbec.
Syrah?
During the summer. Cabernet during the winter is a must. Merlot is pretty good during seasonal types. The hot summer, you know, if you want a red, you got to go with a, I don't do whites at all because they give me a headache.
Okay.
But I go with a red Zin during the summer or a Pinot or a Pinot Noir. My Noir is during the summer I might go to, but I favor Cabernet and Malbec is all year round.
Do you have a favorite bottle that's like around $20?
What's your $20
any,
bottle?
Any like $15, $20, something you just get, you know, a random Friday night.
Absolutely. What do you go? You guys are. You know what? I love that this give and take basis that you're asking these questions are spectacular. Yes, to answer your question, around the $20 mark, you can go to any Trader Joe's. Denny's is always a great value. And if you're going to go down the Malbec sector, I would recommend the good players at Trinity.
Okay,
has
Trinity.
A good line.
Okay.
And then also on the Italian side, if you like Chianti's, like with a good Italian meal, there is a wonderful 2018 and 16 Chianti that is fantastic. And you, if people like red wine and they like Chianti, especially with like, you know, Italian dishes or pizza, it is a winner for
beans.
Like, So anyway,
yeah, I'm with you, Mitchell.
One question for you.
Okay. Oh,
okay.
For both of you.
Okay.
In terms of how you feel about George McCaskey, if you were in charge, would you be able to influence his decision-making? And if you did, can you give me two things that would be a priority that you would say to him?
All right, we'll answer that. Thank you for your call, Mitchell. I think the one thing before we answer the question about George McCaskey,
the underhit, by the way.
I know we only got two bottom lines. I would say this to Mitchell. I think wine reviews are in his future on this show. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, wine of the week. Wine of the week.
Impromptu show conversation.
I
think Mitchell might have to give us a wine of the week.
We know his take. Like Mitchell. Mitchell, you still there?
Yeah, Mitchell's there.
Yeah, Mitchell, you there? Okay. Yeah. Like I get it. You don't like Nagy. You don't like Pace. You don't like Trubisky. But what I want to know is what's a good Malbec that I can get next week at Benny's? Like those are my questions.
That was useful.
For you.
We can
know
do
your takes.
I get those takes.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I appreciate that you like the fact that I give that information. I appreciate the fact that you like that knowledge. I appreciate, Team Gemini, Team Sagittarius, that you are mature enough and have the depth to understand red wines. Because let me tell you something, if you're going to wine, it might as well be red.
Thank you.
I love that. See, that Mitchell from Des Plaines. Thank you, sir. Tom in Oak Lawn, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hi, Tom.
I was wondering what Mitchell in Des Plaines was going to complain about if Trubisky and when Trubisky was off the Bears, but I guess now I know. So, all right, here we go. I don't know what he drinks, but I hope in the future he drinks the decaffeinated version. He kept saying, let me ask you one question, and it ended up being like 10 questions. So, but first of all, Adam, I heard you talking about Cap and his tweeting. Are you trying to say that when I tweet at Cap and he likes it, he doesn't actually like my tweets?
No, I'm just saying that Tom, that in like 8 to 10 hours after he does like your tweet, he might call you and tell you about something he saw on the internet, and you're like, wait, that was my tweet.
Okay, because I was going to say, next thing you know, you're going to say that Jay Hood doesn't really like my tweets, and that's really going to devastate me.
No. We all love your tweets. I think Jonathan likes your tweets. Yeah, we all love your tweets, Tom.
Second of all, I just found it kind of ironic that, after I took a step back and such, and they kept saying collaborate and such like that, if Ryan Pace would have just collaborated in the first place with his head coach, we wouldn't be in this position, because he wouldn't have drafted Trubisky. He wouldn't have gone rogue and such. So now they're asking him to collaborate now. He should have been collaborating with his coaches in the beginning, and then I'm guessing he collaborated with Nagy when they made the trade for Nick Foles, because Nick Foles was a Matt Nagy guy. Did that work? I don't think so. When I heard the interview with George on your guys' station, and Sylvia and Waddle were great. They asked him the hard questions, and he kept on saying, "No, I think our structure is good." I antiquated it to, when you go home, you have that pair of comfy shorts that you wear all the time around the house. They're very nice, very comfortable and such. You wear them every day just to lounge around. But eventually you got to realize that there's holes. The fabric is starting to go. And eventually you got to throw away that pair of shorts. That's the structure. If you want to go specific, that's Ted Phillips right here. And you got to realize that as comfortable as you might be with this structure, it's not working. There's holes in there. You've got to change.
Thanks for the call, Tom. We appreciate it.
Yep.
Have a good night, Tom.
New shorts, bro. Get new shorts.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Friday nights, man. Friday nights. Black and Abdallah here with you. Download the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. We have a good question. It's the end of the week. We don't have time to play the intro for good question tonight. This is what we do. We play a silly game here at the station. When a host on ESPN 1000 asks a question to a guest and a guest says good or great question, we score a point for that person. In the year 2021, do you have the leaderboard for first week of good question?
Our leader, if I gave Eric Ostrowski $100, I don't think he could name who it is. I'm not giving you $100 because now I've just realized you're on the emails.
I'm on the thread.
Yeah, he knows.
You probably know. One, Jack Nolan, of Notre Dame football and basketball is in the leader with two.
Early lead.
Waddle has one.
All right, so there you go. Here is this week's edition of Good Question.
The Browns and the Steelers are the last game of the weekend. Browns have had to deal with all the positive tests, going to be too much for them to overcome against the Steelers?
Oh, well, this is really good. That's a very good question here.
Is Chuck coaching for his Bears coaching career today? Or is
Brian Hanley.
Overstating it. Is he the one on the hot seat if the defense falls apart or continues to be as shaky as it's been recently?
Certainly hasn't been a great year defensively, Brian. I mean, it began on a good note, and then they've really slumped here lately. I don't know. That's a great question.
Wow.
Oh, wow. 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 That's it?
All right, two for the week. Okay.
All right.
Robin Elgin.
Listen, hosts.
Slow start to the year.
Step your game up, bro.
Jeez.
What is
Slow
this?
Slow start. Robin Elgin, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Rob?
Hey, good evening, guys. You got a light comment and a quick suggestion, and I'll get off.
Yeah.
The light comment is, did you happen to notice, trivia, the start of the Packers game, the review call to see if we'd start to get the ball at the 1 or the 40-yard line, did you notice what music was playing in the background at the stadium?
No, what was it? What was it?
Electric Light Orchestra, Don't Bring Me Down.
That's funny.
So that was a nice touch by the sound guy. Secondly, my serious comment, brainstorm. We got to rack our brains, try everything to figure out the quarterback situation. I hope the Bears will at least give a look, think about Alex Smith. This year he went 5-3, the Washington team went 5-3 when he played. They went 2-6 when he wasn't playing. And that, so it's, he did well with the crummy team, and he knows Matt Nagy's system. It'd be a stopgap for sure, but then you can spend your first-round draft pick on offensive line or whatever you need, shore up the team in other areas. So I hope that's at least in discussion. I'm not crazy about the idea, but it's worth considering.
All right, thanks for the call, Rob. Let's try and squeeze in a few more calls before we're done. Squeeze in a few more. Justin, you got to be fast. Justin in Warrenville. Justin, you're up. Justin, go.
Hey, guys, you got to keep Mitchell off the air. He's the absolute.
Oh, all calls welcome. Come on, man.
I've been listening to you guys for 10-plus years.
We appreciate you.
You guys are the best. And every time he comes on, I got to change the dial. Love you guys. Keep it real.
All right, be nice, Justin. Be nice. Daryl in Chicago Heights. Daryl, you got to go fast. Daryl, hey. You're on ESPN 1000.
Hey. How you doing tonight?
We're good. What do you got?
I want to say this, man. We always justified negative stuff with Matt Nagy and Pace. But the thing about it, I'm going to say this. If we would have gave all this leeway to Lovie Smith had more 10-game winning seasons other than Mike Ditka. But they didn't really even give Lovie Smith a chance. He had one or two or bad season, and they were ready to kick him out the door. But they make every excuse in the world to give Matt Nagy a chance.
No, I'm with you, Daryl. Lovie was good. I'm with you. Lovie was good. Adam in Elk Grove Village, you're on ESPN 1000.
Quick, Adam, quick, come on, quick. Come on, Adam, 5 seconds. Go.
I have nothing. Have a great weekend, guys.
All right, you too, Adam. Have a good weekend. Yes, one more. Should we squeeze in one more?
One more. Squeeze it.
Austin
squeeze
on the
it,
south
squeeze
side.
It, squeeze
Austin,
it. Squeeze it. Austin, what you got?
Oh, wow. I made it. My quick comment, Tom Brady is hands down the best quarterback ever.
Agreed.
Let's go off on that. Yes.
Have a great
weekend.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.